It's a real privilege to be able to share with you. And myself and Benny us as an eldership were chatting this week, and we really felt to massage in already what God has been speaking to us about. And so if you're at the gathering, that's where all the Joshua generation churches come together that are in their area, like Mossel Bay and Oatsawn and Stillby and Willem, no, where else? Anyway, there are quite a few. We come together and we sit under the apostolic teaching, and it's always important to listen really hard or intently when the apostolic speak, because they're hearing God for how to move us forward in a certain direction. And Brad Verena spoke on having a laser focus, like Paul did. I don't know if you remember, if you weren't there, I hope you were able to listen to it online. I'm not sure if it's out yet, Stephen. No, it's not yet. But he spoke on having a laser focus on God. And he compared Paul and Paul's calling that he had, and then how that calling would be a mirror to all the letters that Paul wrote. And it was incredible the way he just exposed the blueprint of all Paul's letters, and it all went back to how he was called. And then last week, Sean shared on Hebrews 12 that we are to run the race of endurance and to keep on going. And I want to go down a similar vein. So here goes. Do you know that words have different meanings depending on where you're from or your culture? So, for example, myself and our family, we lived in England for 16 years, and we had to learn this very quickly. Because in South Africa, if you say you are sick, it means, you know, you have the flu or the cold or something like that. In England, if you say you're sick, they'll say, where did you clean it up? In other words, sick means you're throwing up, or you're discharging your food is a more polite way of saying it. Where if I had to ask Timothy what sick means, he'll say, yo, man, that bike is really sick. All right? And I go, what's wrong with the bike? No, nothing, but it's sick. All right? What about the word pants? Now, here it means trousers or jeans or something like that. In England, it means if you go out in public in your pants, you're in your underwear. All right, and they won't allow that. So you have to say, I didn't go and put my pants on. You say, I went to go put my trousers on. All right, because then they say, why weren't you wearing pants? Another word that caught me out was the word couple. So a friend of ours, she tells a funny story of when she first arrived in England, and she was working as a PA to this high executive, and he says, please, won't you go out and buy me a couple of pies? So she goes, so how many? So he goes, a couple of pies. She goes, so how many? Because in South Africa, a couple means a few. In England, a couple means two and two only. A couple is strictly two. You don't, a couple means two. But in South Africa, a couple, a few, now, it all goes down the same line. Okay. We were ministering in Germany, and it was very interesting to know that there were some words that they really struggled with because of their past. Now, in Germany, it's still a thing, you don't mention the war. All right? It's just one of those things. It's etiquette to not mention the war in Germany. And one of the things that we had to try and break and to change is the understanding of two words. The one was leader, which is Führer, which is what they called Hitler, all right? So how do you explain being a leader in God's house without using that word, which has now very negative connotation to it? The other one was Heil, you know, because they said Heil Hitler. And what Heil means is salvation. So salvation is in Hitler was what they were saying when they said Heil Hitler. So now we're talking about salvation, and it's negative. Because we have to explain that salvation is in Christ. But the word salvation has been twisted. And so there are these words that we use that even I'm saying right now that I say, and I know what I mean, you hear it completely differently in your context. And one of the words that I want to be able to redefine today, and the title of my message is Purpose Redefined. In other words, I want to have a look at the word purpose. What is our purpose? And even for me, I've been on a journey of hearing lots of preachers on purposes and sometimes even being confused as to what my purpose is and what the church's purpose is and how God calls us to his purpose. And in order to explain it, I'd like to just share a testimony of the time that we did spend in England. And I share this not to try and bring attention to me at all. And you'll see, hopefully, that it brings attention to God. But myself and my wife, we went over to England after Bible school in the year 1999. And we had sold our house in Cape Town. We had sold our cars. We had sold everything we owned. We gave our TV away. We were young. And those things became very unimportant to us. Because in the process of being at Bible school, God called us. And we knew our purpose. It was as clear as day and night. We certainly knew what God had called us to do. And we were called over to England to start a training center, very similar to TMT, which is in Josh Jen. And the first year, we thought this was wonderful. We had nothing. We didn't own keys. I remember that. We're saying, we don't have keys. We've got no responsibility because we got rid of it all. We started the training center in 2001. And I'm going slightly more into this than I planned. But Hannah was born, that's our daughter, our oldest, in August 2001, and the training center was launched at the beginning of September 2001, when Hannah was 2 weeks old. And there was no discussion really on cost, because Kanya, she got a travel cot. Everything we got for Hannah was to travel, because we were going to conquer the world. And nothing said that we should stay at home or anything like that. We just went. And as part of our orientation, some ladies came to Kanya and they said, you know, shouldn't you be staying at home with your newborn baby? It's only 2 weeks old. And Kanya was like, no. I'm called to the students that God has provided for me to be with. How am I going to learn who they are and how God wants to work in their lives if I'm not there? And so we went with Hannah to orientation and stayed in like a youth hostel on the cliffs of Tintagel. But I digress. The problem is with the launch of the training center, the mortgage, this is in 2001, the mortgage was £6,000, all right, that we bought this training center. If all the students were even able to pay their fees, it would just be £6,000. So that's without food or anything like that. And I quickly realized that we were in trouble. But God had called me. God had called me to lead this Bible school. And so I went to the elders. This is just as we got back from the orientation. I said, look, I can work. I can earn well. I'm an electrical engineer by trade. I can work and I can lead the training center all at the same time. And of course, that was they didn't have any alternatives. So I went and worked. And the nice thing about my work, and I'm sure a few of you would know this, is it was at night, mainly, and at weekends. So I'd go to work at night. It was a 12-hour shift. Go from 6 till 6. And then the plan was always to go to sleep. But that never happened. Because I'd get home, and the kids are running around and whatever, and I'd want to be with Hannah, and then by 8 o'clock, the training center is kicking off, and I must just quickly sort out something, and then I get pulled into a lecture, and I ended up lecturing some stuff that I hadn't even planned yet, and like that, and I look again, and it's 1 o'clock, and I'm thinking, okay, now I really do need to go to sleep, and then there was admin to do, and then I look again, and it's 6 o'clock, or 5 o'clock, and I need to leave for work again, and this happened a lot. I worked out that I could do that for 3 days before my body just broke down. And that's what I did. I did that for probably 14 years because I knew my calling. Now, I'm not saying, now please, and this is where I'm saying, I'm not expecting anyone else to do that. I was called specifically to do that in that season and in that time. And reflecting on that season in my life, I mean, trust me, I enjoy my sleep now. I love my 8 hours I get. But reflecting on that season, I often ask why. Why was I called to that? Why did I have to do that? And I believe that purpose gives way to faith, and faith gives way to grace. In other words, if I wasn't assured of my calling to lead these students and to make the training center a success, I wouldn't have had the faith to see it happen, and I wouldn't have had the grace to do what I did. And it's actually a common thing. We were in Cape Town, and Benjamin was going in for an operation, and we met up with a Filipino. What was he? He was like he prepped the people before they go into surgery. He was a nurse. And we started to chat to him, and we said, you know, so how long have you been working here, blah, blah. He says, well, actually, I work here for the full amount of hours I'm allowed to work in the medical industry, but the hospital down the road, they don't know I work here. I also work there for the same amount of hours I work here. So I said, and when are you off? He says, never. So I go, why is that? He said, no, because I'm sending all my money back to the Philippines. So I go, oh, okay. So in other words, he was in South Africa for a purpose. He wasn't here to have fun and to rest and to what, you know, he was here to work and to earn some money. That was why he was here. And he was accomplishing that. It might not have been legal, but he was accompanying that. And, you know, if you look at any foreigner really who wants to work, we know that they work hard. Why? Because they have a different purpose. And somehow we lose the concept of that we are actually called to be foreigners. We are not called to conform to the world that we find ourselves in, but we are called to be foreigners with a purpose. That it's a purpose that no matter what, we will achieve. Like the Filipino, he was going to get the money that he was after. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 11. Now, I've got the New American Standard, but apparently we don't have that here. But you can put up the ESV, I think. I'll read the New American Standard. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as foreigners and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." This is our calling. This is our purpose. Because it says here, we are a chosen people. We have been chosen. You and I, every single one here, we've been chosen by God. A royal priesthood. I get excited with that royal part. You know, it's like a traffic cop. They have a badge. And when they step out into the road and they put their hand up, you stop. Why? Not because they have a nice hand, but because of the badge that they represent. Because behind the badge is a whole bunch of legal, it's the courts, it's the police, it's the... So if you go around them, they're going to radio you and the whole police force is going to come upon you. We are royal. So when we come into a place, when we go to work, when we are proclaiming his excellencies, we're wearing a badge. And it's a royal badge. It's one that is part of his kingdom. We're representing more than just ourselves. We're a priesthood. That's what we do. We're a priest to everyone. We're a priest to you. We're a priest to each other. And we're a priest to the outside world. A priest is someone who leads people into God's presence. We're a holy nation. We are a people group that are set aside to be holy, called apart. A people for God's own possession. Isn't that beautiful? He wants us for himself. He doesn't want to share us with anything or anyone. So here's the reason why. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. That is our calling. That is our purpose. It gives us the authority, it gives us the order, and it gives us what we need to be doing. Because we have received mercy, and so now we show mercy. Because you see, we are foreigners and strangers. We're not of this world. So our thoughts are not of what everyone else thinks about. When we are born again, we die to all those things. And we are raised up in Christ. And we no longer are subject to the world's orders. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, this is one of my favorite scriptures, and I'll always throw it in whenever I can preach. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you know that God has a perfect plan for every single one of us? It's not so much in what we do. It's got everything to do with how we do it. So, if you're looking at a career, and this is what I was explaining to my children when they got to the age when they had to choose what they wanted to do once they leave school, it's not so much important as to what they do, but how, in terms of what they're going to do, does it fit into the kingdom of God? Can what you do and what you do from 8 or 5, does it fit in to where God wants you? And are you able to bring his kingdom in that world? You see, because as we renew our minds, we renew our minds how? By reading the Bible. The Bible is the washer. As we read the Bible, we get to understand his heart, we get to understand his purposes, his things. And so we drown out the voices of the world. And I want to just say, and it's been said a few times, we need to drown out the voices of the world. I've completely gone off social media for the last 2 months, and it's amazing. The noise has stopped, and there's so much information and so much opinion and so much worldly thought that I was struggling to focus in on actually what has God called me to. Because now I'm looking at what they call to, or what the problems are in the world, or everything like that, or the trends, or, and it's just a noise. It's just a noise. And the Bible says that we need to renew our minds. Because, you see, the reason why the word purpose loses its definition inside of us is because we're not going to the Word for what our purpose is. We're going to social media. We're going to someone's opinion. And we have to know what God is saying for our purpose. Because if we renew our mind by His Word, we then find purpose and faith. I want to say, if you are unhappy in your job, first find your kingdom purpose and then pray about your job. Because you see, we're called to proclaim His excellencies. You might be called to proclaim His excellencies where you are, but you're so consumed up by the politics of work that you've missed your calling, perhaps. Or you sidetracked. And God is calling us to be single-minded, single-focused, and what Brad Lorena says, laser vision on God's purpose. So while I was working in the UK, I was leading the training center, working a full-time job. At one stage, I was the manager at this company. I'd gone to day shifts, which was incredibly hard. And and I was leading my family. And I'm called to all three. And I was working very hard. I was giving my all at work. For the 8 hours I was there, I was giving my all. But then on the side, you know, the phone's going the whole time. I'm giving my all to the training center. I pop in there, the whole time on any free time I had. And when I got home, I'd collapse on the couch and go, oh. And I'd say to Kanye, just give me half an hour. I need to unwind, whatever. And the kids were so excited. And one day God gave me a rebuke of note, like proper. I was driving and I was stuck in traffic and I was just around the corner from the house. I can even tell you where in the road it was. That's how boof it was. And he said, you give your 100% to the things of church, you give your things 100% to the things of work, and you give your family the leftovers. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And I decided from that day onwards that I'd never make an excuse for not being fully present at home. In other words, when I step in the door, I'm 100% there. I'm 100% there for the kids. I'm fun to be around. But sometimes, especially with social media, with gaming, I don't know if of those of you who game, it steals. It robs. It robs your time. It might be an escape for you, but you're stealing from what you're called to. You're stealing from the very purpose that God has given to you in terms of leading your family, being involved in church, and being involved in the workplace. There was a guy that I worked with. He was a Buddhist, and I'd share with him the gospel as much as I could. And he actually had they called it yuppie flu in the day, where you just tired the whole time. He thought he had yuppie flu. In fact, he really was sick. He struggled to work. He struggled. He was off and off. And I was praying for him one day, and God gave me a vision of what his problem was. So I went to him. I said, John, his name was John Johnson. I said, John, you've been traveling in the Middle East a lot. He said, yeah, yeah. I said, I think you've got worms. And he's like, what? Now, in England, now in South Africa, it's quite normal to have worms. You know, we deworm ourselves every 6 months sharply, you know, because we're on the farm. But you go to a doctor in the UK and you say you have worms, and they look at you skew. Anyway, I said, you've got worms. God has given me a word of wisdom, and I believe you have worms. So he just laughed at me. And but he did go to the doctor, and they had to prescribe it. And he got given worm tablets, and he came right. He was healed. And years later, now we're talking, I mean, this happened, what, 2005, perhaps? Years later, after 2015, we were already back in South Africa. He gets hold of me via Facebook. I can't remember how, but he gets my number. And he said, you know what? I just want to thank you for everything that you did in my life. I'm a Christian. I'm going to church. I'm saved. But it was because you stuck with me. You see, even though I was at work, I was called to work. It was hard, but I was called there to proclaim his excellencies. And that is what I did. Sean says it like this. I love Sean. Sean says it like this. He says, at work, be a Christian. What do you mean, Sean? It says, be on time, be honest, work hard. It's the fundamentals. Be a Christian. In other words, you don't have to even preach every time you open your mouth. Just be a witness. we were chatting to Kanya's two brothers. Now, both brothers are quite high up in their respective companies, MDs and COOs and whatnot. And we were chatting with my boys. I said, okay, so for my two sons, what do you say? How do you employ people? And both of them said this. They said, you know what? It's not about your qualification. It's about character. So Kanya's oldest brother, he says, after the interview, he says, I haven't decided yet if I like them or not. I always insist on walking them down to their car, and I look if their car is clean. Why? Because he's looking for character. But that's what an employer looks for. They're looking for reliability, for honesty. Be on time. Show up. Work hard. Do what you're called to do. Be a good investment for the company. That's all you have to do. By doing that, you are proclaiming His excellencies. In Matthew 6, verse 32, it says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. So he's talking about, you know, food and worrying. He's providing for the birds of the air and things like that. This is part of that scripture. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its own. You see, God wants to deposit within us a purpose to seek His kingdom first. With that purpose comes faith and grace. Faith and grace go hand in hand. Grace is the ability to do what you're called to do. It's powerful. Grace isn't a cover-up. Oh, He gives you grace, so let's pretend it didn't happen. No, no. That's mercy. Grace is a power that comes upon you to move you from one place to the next. It's something that gives action to your faith. We are called to seek first His kingdom above everything else, above money, above everything. I'm not driven by money at all. Comes, it goes. I can tell you stories of that until the cows come home. Why? Because I'm assured of my calling. I'm assured of the purposes that God has called me to. And it's not for money. It's to proclaim His excellencies. Because it says, if we seek first His kingdom, all these things will be provided. It was even in one of the songs we sang now. And one thing that I thought to mention is this whole thing of work-life balance. There are certain aspects of work life that are true that we need to balance. But I believe in the younger generation, the pendulum has swung very much to life. We were speaking to someone, and they're a recruitment person up in Joburg, and they were saying that for the life of them, they can't find anyone young who's prepared to work 5 days a week, 8 till 5. They want to work. They all want to work from home and be flexible, because it's all about work-life balance. Now, the problem with that is it creeps into our thinking, and our purposes then get confused, because now we say, you know what, it's all about church-life balance. You know, we can't spend all the time in church because I've got a life to live. Do we not realize that life is this? Everything we do, it shouldn't be tiring. It should be exciting. Well, I get excited when if I go for a men's braai on the 31st of May, it's not a to-do list of, oh, I'm going to be exhausted by the time I get back and therefore I need to rest. No, we do that to encourage one another. I should leave there more excited, more on fire for God, and more full of vision than I did when I arrived. And therefore, I shouldn't be tired at all. In fact, I should be looking forward to the next one. I can't wait. But somehow, we've confused our purpose inside our heads. My last scripture that I want to read is Romans 5, verse 3. It says, not only that, and he was speaking of faith, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I want to say, you know, to those of you who do find yourself in a tough spot, in a difficult situation, that God wants to give us faith. So much faith that we can endure in our sufferings. Because it will produce fruit. So if you are financially really tight, or you're struggling with a relationship, or there's something that's really weighing you down, God is saying tonight that through faith, we rejoice in those sufferings. God will make a way, but in the process, because he wants to produce endurance. And that endurance produces character. And that character produces hope. And that's what he wants to build inside of every single one of us. Why I had to work two jobs for so many years, who knows? But I never found it overwhelming. There were times that we had to recount the cost a few times, but it was always a joy, and I don't regret any moment of that. And please, again, it's not to boast at all, because it was only through God that he gave me the grace to do what he had called me to do for that season. Sorry, so Benny was going to add perhaps or anything like that, but he might keep it for next week. But I feel in God that while I was speaking, perhaps that there's some of us here today that perhaps have lost their purpose. They realize that they've perhaps lost their purpose with their family. You're a dad who doesn't give 100% when you're at home. You're not always present. Or you see work as a box, not part of his kingdom. And that box is painful to go to. God wants to re-envision you with purpose of why you're there. Or perhaps you come to church faithfully, but sometimes it's just a drag. Sometimes you really have to force yourself up because, man, you've had a busy week. And God wants to give you a new purpose, a new grace, new faith, to be able for you to renew your mind and say, you know what? This is life-giving. It's not life-draining at all. And Satan's lied to you to say that it's hard work. It shouldn't be a tick box. The kingdom encompasses everything. It's not a box. There is no box for God's kingdom. But us men, we love our boxes. The women, not so much. But the men love their boxes, and now it's a church box, tick. Work box, tick. I come home, tick. God wants to smash those boxes. There's no boxes. Because in his kingdom, work exists. In his kingdom, family exists. Within his kingdom, church exists. And the two should flow in between each other, and each one should be life. Each one should be, because you know what gives you life? Doing his will. That's what Jesus said when he was at the well. He says, the will of my Father is my food. In other words, doing God's will at work is food, and it will nourish you, and it will strengthen you, and it shouldn't be hard work. But we're called to work hard. And so, if that's you, I think, you know, you obviously know if you've lost purpose. And the point of tonight is for that purpose to be redefined in your heart. In other words, ask God to give you the faith to renew your mind in a way that you can say, you know what, I know my purpose. I know my calling. And no matter how hard it is, even if it's hard, it's fine. Because that's going to produce character. And character is going to produce hope. And that's what God has on offer for tonight. Perhaps even some of you don't know God. You've never come to the realization of salvation. And you hear things of purpose and calling, and God has never called you in your heart before. And God is calling you by name tonight so that you might be saved and part of a family, part of his bigger church, part of a church where you can be fed and nourished and hear about his excellencies. So I think let's all stand. And I'm not going to lead you in prayer because I think this is a moment between you and God. I can't know where everyone is at. But I want you to all pray, just under your breath or what have you. And first of all, repent for not hearing his calling. And after the repentance, you can pray that God will show you by his Spirit the re-anointing that he wants to do tonight, to call you into his kingdom once again, afresh. So, yeah, that's up to you guys now.
So just as John was sharing, I feel there's some of us sitting here that feel our capacity is, we've reached our limit. And I feel some of us are standing here and just like, there's no more I can give. There's nothing more that I can deliver. And, you know, and just that challenge, you're feeling, well, the sounds good, but in reality, it's impossible. And I want to say that that's exactly it. It is impossible to do everything all the time, perfectly. I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm an elder. What else am I? I'm all those things. And really, it takes plugging into Jesus to be able to do anything. Not some things, anything. And I'm reminded of Paul in 2 Corinthians. He said this, verses 12 to 9. He says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness.'" And I want to encourage some of you sitting here. Maybe you're very aware of your weakness. You're very aware of just where you're at. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your marriage. But come to the Lord tonight. Come in faith. Respond to Him, because really, it's God giving us His burden, and He's taking yours. You cannot manage everything. It's by His Spirit that we can do anything that we do. It's only through His Spirit that we can actually have fruit in what we do. It's Him that gives life. It's Him that gives fruit, but it's Him that gives fruit that remains as well. And I feel some of you have been running hard, but you know what? You've shrunk back in the faith. And I want to say today, come before the Lord, make a declaration and say, "God, come and build into me. I want lasting fruit. I want fruit that remains." And it's going to take a response in Him. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with praying for faith. In fact, the Bible's very clear. When Peter was about to be challenged, and Jesus said to him, "You know, Peter, the enemy wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for your faith." And I feel tonight that's what God wants to do. He wants to pray into your faith. Pray that you will be able to grab a hold of that which Christ Jesus has grabbed a hold of you. Some of you have grabbed a hold of a lot of things, and it hasn't been Jesus. It hasn't been the things that God has for you. It hasn't been the things of the kingdom. And the Bible says, unless you seek first the kingdom, you know, none of those things will be added to you. It's seeking first His kingdom. And it doesn't mean if I go for those things, God's going to give me those things. No, it's through the kingdom. It's as you begin to understand what God delights for your life, for your marriage, for your kids, for your job. When you begin to see through those things, you begin to see through the kingdom. And then you get access to those things that God wants for you in your life. And so I want to say, if that's you, you're feeling challenged tonight and you're wanting God just to build your faith, you're feeling weary, you're feeling down, you're feeling, "I just can't go on anymore," you come. Come and drink from the well tonight of Jesus. Can I ask that we do that? Can we respond to that? Just maybe, and to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, because He's the only one that can do this. Don't fix your eyes on the problem or the circumstances or how am I going to do it. Fix your eyes on Jesus tonight and let Him come and bring that to you. Let Him come and bring that laser-eyed focus that John was talking about. So let's respond to Him. Can I ask that we do that? So if that's you, come to the front and we're going to pray for you. I'm going to ask for the leaders or the guys just to come in. As you feel even led to pray, come pray for these guys.